We have several scriptures to read this morning at the first. The first one would be from Jeremiah chapter 9. And while we go there, let me pray that God will have His Holy Spirit here to teach us what His message for us is this morning, that we might have receptive hearts and leave here knowing more than we came with and being closer to God. Father, bless us. Bless us all. We're a needy people. We see it everywhere we turn, and of course you know all of this. Teach us, Lord, to trust You, to lean on You, and to know that You will do Your will in our lives. Teach us to find the path that You have for us so that our life might be the blessed it can be. Thank You again, please, for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've entitled it this morning, Our Treasure. We'll get to that part in a bit. But there's a couple of things I would like to remind you about that God has said in His Word concerning us and our lives now in the kingdom of God. Between the time we're born again and the time we sit with Him face to face. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God is showing us there what it means to be spiritual. What His definition of being spiritual is. Of course, we know that spiritual is living under the rulership of the Spirit of God. But He says to be spiritual, we must know and understand Him. I'll add to this that as we, as born-again believers and representatives of God on this earth, not to bring attention to who we are or what we have, but to give praise to God in everything and let Him have the glory. Because after all, that's His whole purpose in doing what He's done for us. He gave us a way out of sin. And out of that, He wants the glory. In Ephesians, I can turn there because we're coming back this way in just a second. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the tremendous place that God has placed us in, and the tremendous blessings that we have, and to guide us through this world that belongs to our enemy, and to keep us out of the snares that he has got laid for us. A few pages back in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 9, in verse 11, Solomon, that wrote Ecclesiastes. Now understand about Ecclesiastes, please. This book is written about the wisdom that Solomon has gained from things that he learned under the sun. That's down here. That's not necessarily a spiritual thing, and you have to read Ecclesiastes like that, because there's things in there that he has learned that is of a spiritual nature, and there's things that he's learned that is of a earthly nature. And we have to divide those things in our mind. But Solomon says in chapter 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun, in other words, what's happening down here, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Solomon has seen that there are no guarantees down here. There really aren't. And we all know people who have been the hardest working people we've ever seen that always had just enough to get by. God will always give you enough to get by them. He'll do that. And there are others that seem to be so rich, and you wonder how they got to be that way. Now, some of them we know how they got to be that way, because they started out to get it and they got it. And they probably got some of us in the process. But the point that Solomon is making here, that as we live down here, there are no guarantees about what we're going to have or what we're going to be. That we're to follow and trust God and leave it all up to Him. Only God's plan for us. And each one of us has a plan. It's in Psalms where He talks about how He created each one of us and drew our plans up and wrote them down in a book somewhere. I don't know where. But the whole idea of the way He went about creating us and designing us dictates a purpose. There is a purpose for each one of us. And when we can define what that purpose is for us and try to get in the middle of it, we can live a very blessed life. Not to say it won't be troubles, but still we'll lead a very blessed life. Just a few pages over to the left in chapter 5. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 18, Solomon says, Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Enjoy, he says, those things that you have worked for, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. That is one of the first places, of only three or four places in the Bible, that God talks about your portion. I firmly believe, from studying that word everywhere I could find it in the book, that we're all assigned at our creation a portion. Probably a financial and a material portion that we need to do our job. And God has got our path laid out for us, His will for us, and He provides for us in such a way that we can accommodate Him in what He asks us to do. It says in Proverbs that he says over there that, Lord, don't give me so little that I would steal, or give me so much that I would forget who you are, but give me what's right for me. Well, that's what this says right here, that God's going to do that. Unless we break the rules and try to get more than we got coming, it can lead to all kind of problems if we do. But God has got a portion for us, and Solomon says we need to enjoy that portion that we legitimately get from God. For every man, verse 19, also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof. See, there's two things to this, and we've all seen people who for whatever reason accumulated a great deal, and they wasn't able to enjoy it. Something happened. So there's two parts to the blessing from the God. One, that we get things, and the other is that we get to enjoy them. Give him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, for this is the gift of God. God has given us that. And everyone has a different path and a different portion. I've seen that. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. There's a neat thing what that says in their language. It says God keeps him busy in his joy. So when we serve God and we get those things that God would like for us to have, and we enjoy them, God will keep us busy. Too busy, it says, to even remember a lot of what we're, our life is like. I know maybe you've experienced this, that one day you just all of a sudden the light comes on and you say, I used to be like that and I'm not like that anymore. And all of a sudden it hits you that God has changed you. Amen. I used to be one that would get so upset. I used to be one that wanted to fight. I used to be this, and I'm not that anymore. And praise be to God that we notice those things that he's doing in our life. In Romans, chapter 9, in verse 15, Paul says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, New Testament version of what Solomon's been talking about, so then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Every one of us, people, and we need to understand this, I hope by now, if you've been a Christian for a while, you begin to see it. It's not always easy, but I say this. We're going to live in a way, when we're living obedient to God, we're going to live the way he wants us to live. And whatever he has for us, we'll have. And whatever he does not have for us, he decides in his wisdom that we don't need it, that it would be detrimental to us. He says in a place back in Numbers, I think, that the Hebrews went for a while, the Israelites went for a while without leadership. And they all did what they thought was right in their own mind. And they prayed for so many things, and after a while they prayed over and over and over for so many things that God just gave it to them. But it said because of those things they prayed for and got, their souls became lean. So there is a Bible principle that sometimes when we get the things that we want, that maybe God doesn't necessarily want us to have, that we become lean spiritually. It costs us something in our ability to be able to serve Him. I read last week that an old Christian said, even those things that God gives you, use them sparingly so that you won't get so spoiled to them that one day you might have to live without them. So we always, it's like David said in Psalms, Lord, teach me to count my days that I might realize how frail I am. We need to keep that in front of us. We never know. This week, things have happened that we would have never thought a month ago would have happened. We just never know. And it happens to old and it happens to young. But we find our lives at times are drastically changed by the life we're living here and what God has for each one of us. But remember, God has given us what we have. It's our portion. What we have, according to what's been read here, is not always relative to our effort that we put out to get it. What we have in wealth, in wisdom, in power or might is what God has ordained for us. And each one of us have a different ministry. We can't look at each other and say, I wished I was like him, or I wished I was like her. Because God gives us the tools we need to do for him. If we do not react in an humble and obedient fashion, it will destroy our testimony to believers and to unbelievers also. We have to be very careful. He talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 that there's always somebody watching us. Even if they just see your car in front of a church on Sunday morning, people have a tendency to look at you to see just how you're living. No one cares for arrogance, even God. It's number one on his hate list in Proverbs chapter 6 is a proud look. That's the number one thing God dislikes. In Matthew 23, 12, it says, and whosoever exalts himself shall be abased or humbled. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Talks about in 1 Peter, humble thyself therefore before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in his time. In Psalms 140 and verse 8, David said, grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his wicked device or scheme, lest they exalt themselves. We all know somebody like that. They've got their schemes going, and when they seem successful to them, they want everybody to know about it. They go around bragging on how smart they are and how good they are and how hard they work. And like I said, every good gift and every perfect gift still comes from above, from the Father. Says, Lord, don't further their wicked schemes. What's wicked? God knows. We don't always know. And I've learned something in my life. Some of the things that might be wicked for me might not be wicked at all for you. That's the reason we've got to be in such close contact with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And that we ask him what we need to do every day. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians in verse 4. We're getting to the place where it's the point of all that's been said here this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You got it up to that point? Flesh and blood. We have this treasure. God has given us through Jesus Christ this treasure that we carry in our earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He gave us this treasure so that we might glorify Him. It's not to glorify us, even though we're going to be glorified. We're in a state of glorification now as a Christian. It says so. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Why do we abide in Him and let His Word abide in us? Why do we walk around all day in the presence of the Lord? So that the dying of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. It says in those days that when the disciples came through, that the people in the villages could listen to them and hear them and know that they had been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would grant to us that as we go about our daily lives, that people would be made aware just by our being that we were Christians. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. But the thing that I want to explain to you about all of this, we are called to be humble. We're called to glory in that we know and understand God, and not in what He's done for us or what we've accumulated or what belongs to us or who we happen to be, even. Christianity is the combination of this treasure in an earthen vessel. Can you see that? That's the way we operate. That's the way we have a testimony to other people out here in the world today. There are billboards with Jesus Christ all across this country, and nobody responds. Everybody doesn't respond. And then there are people around everywhere who make no testimony whatsoever to Christ. But our testimony is that treasure that God has given us through Jesus Christ that we carry around in our earthen vessels. The impact that is made on other people is not just the treasure, but the fact that it's carried around in us. It's the combination of the two. One wouldn't work without the other. The impact on others is the extent to which the treasure has changed this earthen vessel. Can people see? See, when we get Jesus, we're a new creature. And God doesn't take the old and repair it. He gives us new. Everything about this thing about Jesus in us makes us a new creature. Everything's new. And people ought to be able to see that. Maybe they see the change in us. They need to. Maybe they knew us before. Jesus is available to people everywhere. People with no witness are common. It's the combination that's the treasure and the earthen vessel. It's the combination that gives us impact to everybody else. Colossians 1:27 says, "It's Jesus in you, the hope of glory." The hope of heaven is that you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That is, what is it, when the 70 went out and they came back and they were bragging to Jesus that they had control of Satan in people, that they could take order demons out of people, and they were bragging about that. And you know what Jesus told them? He said, wait a minute, guys. If you're going to brag about something, brag that your name is written in heaven. That's the biggest thing. That's the greatest thing. Everything else then comes in behind that. People notice what God has done with an ordinary person. You remember 1 Corinthians? Not many wise, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But nobodies. That's us. Nothing. He uses nothing to bring down the wise. Nobodies. But nobodies shining the light of Jesus Christ on the world. That's what does it. It's when just an ordinary person stands and exalts God through Jesus Christ in front of other people. They look at you, and you're not a preacher. You're not Billy Graham. You're not an evangelist. You're just an ordinary person glorifying God. That's what it does, and that's how it's done. And without us, you and me, us nobodies, it wouldn't get done. And showing love to the people of the world gets the attention of a person that the Holy Spirit can work with and turn into another Christian. That's the impact. That's the testimony. Is when we share just the word of Jesus with somebody else that we don't think maybe knows him. I've been told years ago that it is a witness if you just cause someone to think about God in a day that they otherwise wouldn't have thought about him. So we don't need to act any kind of way before others that would hinder the Holy Spirit's work in their heart. We should never take personal credit for who we are or what we've done or what we have, but give all the glory to God, who is the one in our heart. A combination of the treasure of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in a common person. That combination's where it's all at. So we've got a job. Don't have to go to classes. If you're born again this morning, you know how to tell somebody else how to be born again. That's all it takes. Doesn't matter what words you use. Doesn't matter what accent you got. Listen to this hillbilly accent I got, you know. But you can pass Jesus along by just sharing with somebody else what he is to you and pray that he would be that to them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the way that out of our mouths and in our eyes people can see that Jesus is very special to us. And we find in our comings and goings, Lord, that not only the lost need Jesus, but there are a lot of times when God's own children need Jesus too. Just a word from him to remind us in that day that even though we're in trouble, it's going to work out. Because like in the song that we sang a while ago, Jesus does care. And he shows us that in every obstacle we run into. And as in Hebrews chapter 12, we're not to have a pity party when we're in a jam because people are looking. We need to make sure that we handle it in such a way that it would glorify you, God, and it would keep somebody that's a little bit crippled from growing lame. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.